Roughly 100,000 kids experience bullying each day. Now, if you imagine one of the larger sports stadiums, it's that many kids being physically and emotionally victimised every day. Is that something you or someone in your family has experienced, either at school or online? We'd be keen to hear what works to prevent it happening again. Did the school get on board, or was it about intervening with the perpetrator directly? Tell us about it on our Facebook page. One intervention program has managed to slash that figure, that 100,000 figure, by up to a third where it's been rolled out. The man behind the program is Professor Philip Slee. He's a psychologist and a professor of human development at Flinders University. Welcome to Life Matters, Professor Slee.
Hello, Hilary.
Now, what are the long-term social costs of that scale of bullying?
Yeah, there are very significant social and psychological costs. There are also very significant economic costs, Hilary. Some of the social and psychological costs relate to experiences of anxiety and depression, loss of self-esteem, lack of connection with school. Those would be some of the effects that bullying has. But we also know that there are significant economic costs that are incurred by the community because the students involved are having to get treatment for depression, for anxiety, for medication. They're also seeing doctors and counsellors and psychologists around the issue. So there's a considerable cost to the community of this particular issue.
And that's a long-term cost by the sound of it. Philip, what about cyberbullying? Does that affect children in the same way as face-to-face bullying?
Yes, we did some research across three states a few years ago, Hilary. What we did was we asked the students involved, there were nearly 3,000 of them, what worried them most. Was it the kind of traditional face-to-face bullying or was it cyber? The students in the study that we conducted reported that it was the face-to-face that they found most hurtful and harmful. But when we looked at the anxiety and depression measures that we had in the study, we found that where the students reported that they were being cyberbullied, that the effects were, particularly around depression and anxiety, were greater if they were being cyberbullied than if they were being bullied face to face.
Do we know why that is?
Well, I think that's a significant question to ask. I think that there are some speculation that it's around the 24/7 nature of the online bullying that occurs. It's also about the fact that it's boundaryless. So you can get the text or you can get an email at any time of the day or night. And I also think, you know, there is evidence that you're not generally aware of who it is that's perpetrating the act. And so there's that real fear that comes with, you know, the unknown associated with cyberbullying.
And I'm wondering too if there's differences between the ways girls and boys experience bullying and whether that relates to what happens with cyberbullying too.
Yes, I think there is some indication that there are those gender differences. Again, some research that we conducted here in South Australia a number of years ago, we looked at the effects that being bullied had on girls and boys. What we found when we looked at the age range was that the self-esteem measures that we used for girls and boys, that for boys that kind of plateaued, they started off at about the same level of self-esteem in primary school, but by secondary schools, the girls' self-esteem was significantly below that of the boys. And I think that that relates to the way that girls experience the pressures, the online pressures that are there around image, around self-presentation, etc.
So, Philip, tell us about your program, the Peace Pack, P-E-A-C-E. What does it do?
The Peace Pack was developed a number of years ago, Hilary. It's now in its fourth edition. It works because it was It involves all of the key stakeholders in its development. So when I initially developed the Peace Pact, we met over a number of years with students and teachers and parents, and they provided a lot of the content associated with the Peace Pact in terms of the lesson content. We've continued to update that content as it's moved into the fourth edition. So it works because it's got the key stakeholders involved. It also works because the resource was developed for teachers to be delivered by teachers in the classroom as part of everyday their everyday teaching. And it also works because we've assessed it in pre-test and post-test and follow-up. So in your lead to our chat today, you mentioned that it was significant in reducing the level of self-reported victimisation, and it is. It has a very significant impact in terms of reducing victimisation. And that effect is maintained over time. It just doesn't end once the bullying doesn't start again once the program is finished. The program itself, and this is what teachers wanted, and my background in teaching helped me to understand that, they wanted something very practical and hands-on that they could deliver in the classroom. So it comprises 8 lessons that are delivered across an 8 to 10 week period by teachers. Those lessons are very active in terms of their involvement, so that it involves the students in debates and discussion and practice of various skills. So that's part of the really hands-on component of the Peace Pact.
I'm wondering too, if is it different from other programs that have obviously tried desperately to stop this problem in our schools because of its broader focus on wellbeing?
Yes, what we've done, Hilary, is we've integrated it with the general capabilities component of the national curriculum, so that it's part of what teachers do. And that includes this very strong emphasis that Australia has got in many sectors around student wellbeing, so that we know through the work, research teams at Flinders University have evaluated mental health programs were developed, and we've assessed those mental health programs, and here I'm referring to what was known as the Kids Matter programs. What we found was that where students' well-being was taken into account, where the issues around well-being were addressed, those issues relate to feelings of safety, skills around conflict resolution, assertiveness, development of resilience, that where those skills are promoted in a school setting, that it actually impacts positively on the academic outcomes for students.
I imagine that would be a big selling point for parents.
Well, it is, because I think, as you've mentioned, there are many programs around, but I think consumers, we need to be quite aware that programs by themselves are not necessarily benign. They can have what's known as iatrogenic effects, where an unintended negative consequence can arise. And so we've been very careful in the development of the framework, and PEACE is a framework. It provides a description for teachers around how to introduce the program, maintain it, and the content associated with it, and how to evaluate, and then to celebrate the successes at the end of the 8-week program. So we know that the program itself has positive outcomes, that it because we have assessed it both here in Australia, and it's been translated into a number of different languages, Greek, Italian, Maltese and Japanese, and it's been assessed in those countries as well. So we know that we've got a very robust database that shows us that it does have the positive effects that are claimed for it.
We've got a really interesting text, Philip, saying, are the bulliers being re-educated? This texter is worried about the wider social aspects. They're saying it's not just kids, it seemed to be an accepted culture with some adults. We need to address the bulliers while they're young. Is there a focus on targeting people who bully in this program?
What we're doing there is, and that's a really good question to have been presented with, Hilary. I think what we're doing very strongly within the Peace Pack is, yes, we're looking at the experience of kids who report that they're being victimised, but we're also educating students around the issue of their behaviour that can lead to bullying. So it's really about educating the whole school community, including those who may be perpetrating the bullying, and helping them become aware that there are different ways that they can have their particular needs met as well. So that comes about through the kind of social skills activities, through the media, the multimedia components associated with the Peace Pack. So, for example, we have a DVD that is used as part of the 8-week program that has scenarios associated with physical, social, psychological, verbal bullying and cyberbullying. And those short scenarios are played as part of the lessons, and that all of the students, including those students who may be perpetrating the act, get a chance to talk about what they saw happening in the scenario, how they could go about behaving differently to have their various needs met, what might be some of the solutions associated with being bullied in that fashion. And so it is really about the whole school community, and it's about the wider community as well. It's about engaging with parents. It's about engaging with organisations within the community, like the police force, to help understand that the issue of bullying, while it may happen in the school, is a broader responsibility lies within the community context.
And if bullying has been a problem for someone in your family, either at school or online, we'd be very keen to hear what worked to stop it. A whole school approach or a more targeted intervention? Tell us about it on our Facebook page. We're talking with Professor Philip Slee, a psychologist and Professor of Human Development at Flinders University, who's developed the Peace Pack, P-E-A-C-E. Philip, let's look at how it went in one school in South Australia, Brighton Secondary, and it had what we call average levels of bullying in 2014, so about 1 in 5 students being affected each week. What happened when this program was introduced there?
Yes, we introduced the program there with the support of the school administration, with the principal and the deputy principal, and also being driven significantly by the school counsellors within that particular school. And a really key an important component of any intervention program, Hilary, is to have a champion in the school that promotes the program itself. So, and that champion can be pretty much anybody. It could be a parent, it could be a student, it could be the teacher, a school counsellor. So what we did in 2014 is we introduced the Peace Pack and we evaluated, and as you've indicated, the school had about an average level of bullying as reported by the students. So about 1 in 5 of the students said that they were being seriously bullied. That's once a week or more often. At the end of the 8 weeks, that had dropped down, and that's what we typically find. We went back in 2015 and it had dropped down to now from around about 20% down to 5 or 6% of students. That then was maintained over time, and we've just collated the 2018 results, and across the 5 years, that particular school has maintained after the first year a particularly low level of bullying or self-reported victimisation by the students. We've puzzled about why that's and how that school, and that school is not alone in that regard, because we've got a range of other case studies such as where those results are reasonably typical. What we think happened was that after the first year, there was a significant change in the values, the beliefs and the attitudes of the whole school community. And here I am talking about the parents and the students, the teachers themselves, the school counsellors. And what the Peace Pack is able to do is also address those that change in the values and the attitudes and the beliefs that the community might have about the issue itself.
Well, on so that we note think too, I'm wondering if you can tailor the program across schools with different cultural or religious backgrounds. How much wiggle room is there to adapt it to a particular school's set of beliefs?
Yeah, that's a very significant point to make, Hilary, that what we've found, particularly with where we've implemented the Peace Pack in overseas countries, was that it's absolutely crucial to adapt and modify the program so that it fits the particular culture and the background of the school. And that applies in Australia as well, because schools themselves, different schools, exist within a kind of cultural frame or an economic frame. And it really is important that different activities, slightly different approaches are used and adapted. And we think that was that is a significant component of the Peace Pack. And that's why the voice of the people within the Peace Pack, the students and the teachers themselves, is really important, because that voice brings that adaptation of the Peace Pack.
What a radical idea, asking the students what would work for them within the context of their school environment.
Yes, we've used focus groups with students where we've, after the program has been delivered, we've sat down with focus groups of students. And you mentioned earlier that early intervention is really important, and it is. So we've sat down with young students in year threes and fours, year levels, and then with older students. We've collected their ideas about what works in the Peace Pack, and then we use that and we modify the Peace Pack accordingly. We find that schools are enormously creative in what they do around the Peace Pack. So in a statewide intervention here in South Australia last year of the Peace Pack, we found schools had organised Peace Pack lunches where they would sit around and share a lunch and talk about life at school and what made life better. There were other schools that had Peace Pack runs where they incorporated the Peace Pack in the phys ed program, and they talked about the benefits of a healthy lifestyle around it. So we've also found that, and that's an example of the way schools adapt it, that schools are enormously creative and supportive around making changes to elements of the Peace Pack that help it work.
It's very heartening. Some very heartening news on that our massive bullying problem today. Thanks so much for joining us on Life Matters.
Pleasure, Hilary.
Professor Philip Slee. He's a psychologist, a professor of human development at Flinders University, and the developer of the Peace Pack, PEACE.